can edit this audio later.
Okay.
Okay, I guess we're ready. Oh, dear Heavenly Father, precious God, just be with us this day and let the words of my mouth, the meditation of my heart and my mind be acceptable in thy sight, my Lord and my Redeemer. Amen. Okay. Good morning. And as we would say each morning at Sunday in the worship service, we would say, what day is it? And the response, obviously, to that is, this is the day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. Since we're not actually in each other's presence, this is via a little different means, and we're actually video this time. So please make no comments as to how my hair looks or whatever like that. But anyway, and my wife would say that's my bad sense of humor coming up. But this is the day the Lord has made, and we will rejoice and be glad in it. As greetings and announcements, we welcome you to the service at Clarksburg United Methodist Church here on 15924 General Polar Highway. The service today will start, and we actually have some music from Becky to add to it, so there will be some joy in that. So we start with a call to worship, and the call to worship is Psalm 23. How appropriate to this day and age. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in right paths for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the darkest valley, I fear no evil. For you are with me, your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord my whole life. Amen. The affirmation of faith is the Wesleyan covenant. As I said, throughout Lent, what we'll do is we'll either do a affirmation of faith or renew our vows through the covenant prayer, found as we have read it many, many times. I am no longer my own, but thine. Put me to what thou wilt. Rank me with whom thou wilt. Put me to doing. Put me to suffering. Let me be laid aside. Let me be employed by thee or laid aside for thee, exalted for thee or brought low by thee. Let me be full. Let me be empty. Let me have all things. Let me have nothing. I freely and heartily yield all things to thy pleasure and disposal. And now, O glorious and blessed God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, thou art mine, and I am thine. So be it. And the covenant which I have made on earth, let it be ratified in heaven. Amen. Prayer concerns today. Obviously, we know there are still people who are receiving treatments. There are still people who are in the hospital. There are still people who we have in our congregation who are at home. And because of the clampdown and the restriction on movements at home alone. And I applaud and urge each of you to make whatever efforts you can, whether via letter or card or phone call or even dropping by their house and saying hi, you love them, and the peace of Christ through the door. We need to practice safe distancing, and we know that per the bishop's direction, we are going to be using this social distancing probably at least through the end of the 29th, and we'll see how plans go and see what happens and deal with it as it comes. In Christ's good time, we are a people of faith, not fear. Let us continue to worship together and serve together, even by new means, whether it's phone, text, email, cards and letters, anything and everything that gets the word out to people. A number of people have made offers to pick up food or anything else that that someone is in need of. So all I have to do is give me or Warren a call, and what we'll do is we'll get in touch with whomever it is that needs the food and or supplies. So keep that in mind. Prayers for our congregation, prayers for Alan as he heals and goes through his treatments, prayers for the recent injuries, the surgeries for Lynn and Dolores. Keep Betty Ann Tabler in your prayers. And, you know, we have a number of ladies who are at home, and they're not able to get out like they would have been, not just the ones in the nursing home and Reggie and Sue Myers, but we look at Jane Crittenden, Tinker Purcell, and I know they're up and able to get around, but keep Ivy and Polly in your prayers, as well as, you know, social distancing can put a limit on their ability to go places and do things, and we just lift that up to you. And just as we come to our Lord and Savior each time in prayer, so we do today. Join me in an attitude of prayer. O Lord, Father God, we come into your presence knowing that you're the giver of every good and perfect gift. All of our needs you already know. You have a plan for each and every one of the occurrences, and we just accept you in our lives. We pray for you to be in our lives, whether it's in the common ordinary day, the things that we're missing, the communications that we're missing, the ability to go out and even just hug a family or loved one, and all the extra precautions that our society is causing us to take. We lift up to you, Lord Father God, each and every one of our congregation and each and every one of the people in our community, that we work together, that we're not of fear, but we're of faith. We follow lightness, not darkness. We follow hope, not despair. Let your Holy Spirit touch us and be with us as you are with us today, even though this is an electronic means. Lord, in each and every home where this is played, the Holy Spirit is there. The Holy Spirit is there now, and it'll be there at 11, at 12, at all the other different times of the day. And Lord, Father God, we have a perfect prayer that answers all of our needs, and our Lord taught his disciples, our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen. just thought it would be nice to add a little music, and Becky was kind enough to send me that file so that we might have an opportunity to meditate on the circumstances and the things that are going on in our world today. Our scripture verse today is from John, the Gospel of John, the 9th chapter, verses 1 through 41. It's a very long passage, but it's a meaningful one, and I'll be as succinct as I can be. In John chapter 9, verse 1 through 41, it starts, as he walked along, this is Jesus, as he walked along, he saw a blind man from birth. His disciples asked him, "Rabbi, who sinned, this man or his parents, that he was born blind?" Jesus answered, "Neither this man nor his parents sinned. He was blind so that God's work might be revealed in him. We must work the works of him who sent me while it is day. Night is coming when no one can work. As long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world." When he had said this, he spat on the ground, made mud with the saliva, and spread the mud on a man's eyes, saying to him, "Go and wash in the pool of Siloam," which means sent. Then he went, washed, and came back able to see. The neighbors and those who had seen him before as a beggar began to ask, "Is this not the man who used to sit and beg?" Some were saying, "It is he." Others were saying, "No, but it is someone like him." He kept saying, "I am the man." But they kept asking him, "Then how were your eyes open?" And he answered, "The man called Jesus made mud, spread it on my eyes, and said to me, 'Go to Siloam and wash.' I went, washed, and received my sight." They said to him, "Where is he?" And he said, "I do not know." Then they bring the Pharisees the man who had formerly been blind. Now it was the Sabbath day when Jesus made the mud and opened his eyes. Then the Pharisees also began to ask him how he had received his sight. He said to them, "He put mud on my eyes, then I washed, and now I see." Some of the Pharisees said, "This man is not from God, for he does not observe the Sabbath." But others said, "How can a man who is a sinner perform such signs?" And they were divided. So they again asked the blind man, "What do you say about him? It was your eyes he opened." And he said, "He is a prophet." The Jews did not believe that he had been blind and had received his sight until they called the parents of the man who had received his sight. And they asked them, "Is this your son, who you say was born blind? How then does he now see?" His parents answered, "We know that this is our son, and that he was born blind, but we do not know how it is that now he sees, nor do we know who opened his eyes. Ask him, he is of age. He will speak for himself." His parents said this because they were afraid of the Jews, for the Jews had already agreed that anyone who confessed Jesus to be the Messiah would be put out of the synagogue. Therefore, his parents said, "He is of age, ask him." So the second time they called the man who was blind, and they said to him, "Give glory to God. We know that this man is a sinner." He answered them, "I do not know whether he is a sinner. One thing I do know, that though I was blind, now I see." They said to him, "What did he do? How did he open eyes?" And he answered them, "I told you already. You would not listen. Why do you want to hear it again? Do you also want to become his disciples?" Then they reviled him, saying, you are his disciple, but we are disciples of Moses. We know that God has spoken to Moses, but as for this man, we do not know where he comes from." The man answered, "Here is an astonishing thing. You do not know where he comes from, and yet he opened my eyes. We know that God does not listen to sinners, but he does listen to one who worships him and obeys his will. Never since the world began has it been heard that anyone opened the eyes of a person born blind. If this man were not from God, he could do nothing." They answered him, "You're born entirely and in sins, and you are trying to teach us," and they drove him out. Jesus heard that they had driven him out, and when he found him, he said, "Do you believe in the Son of Man?" He answered, "And who is he, sir? Tell me, so that I may believe in him." Jesus said to him, "You have seen him, and the one speaking with you is he." He said, "Lord, I believe," and he worshipped him. Jesus said, "I came into this world for judgment, so those who do not see may see. Those who do see may become blind." Some of the Pharisees near him heard this and said to him, "Surely we are not blind, are we?" And Jesus said to him, "If you are blind, you would not have sin. But now that you say we see, your sin remains." the word of God to the people of God. Thanks be to God. 4 points to this. I titled the sermon, When the Blind See. And we know that there's the blind man who is not able to see, and he's been blind since birth. And yet the Pharisees, who have sight and are the leaders of the church and are supposed to be the ones teaching and educating people on Scripture and following God's laws and loving God and following all his commandments. And yet they don't see this. And throughout all of this, the Gospel of John pretty much gives us these miracles that are performed, and he gives them to us for a purpose and a reason. They're to teach a point, and they're giving signs. Throughout all of the questioning and all of the interaction between Jesus and the Pharisees and the other leaders of the Jewish church, they're asking for signs that he's the Messiah, asking him to perform signs that prove he's who he says he is. And here we have a sign that he performs, as it's presented to us by John. Listen carefully to what happens. The disciples ask Jesus, "Who sinned, this man or his parents?" And Jesus says, "Neither this man nor his parents sinned. He was born blind so that God's works might be revealed in him." There's a purpose. The ancient tradition, the Jewish traditions were looking at if a person were injured or blind or somehow lame or somehow afflicted, it was because of the sins of their parents. And in this case, Jesus is saying sometimes not. It is to actually show the glory of God. Then he goes on, he said, "We must work the works of him who sent me." He's describing this and the works. He's telling the disciples what it is that he's going to do and the purpose on which he's doing it. And he knows fully well that this is the Sabbath day. And work on the Sabbath is forbidden. But Jesus says throughout his ministry, and does throughout his ministry, kingdom works, even on the Sabbath. He says, "We must work the works of him who sent me while it is day. Night is coming when no one can work. As long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world." And when he had said this, he spits in the mud, makes a poultice of some sort, puts it on the blind man's eyes, and then tells him, "Go and wash in the pool of Siloam." The man does what he's told, and as he returns, he's able to see. And throughout this, so there's the miracle that's performed. A man that was born blind is given sight, because he does what Jesus told him to do. Now, as he returns, as the blind person returns, the neighbors and all of these people that have seen him begging are perplexed. "Is this not the man who used to sit and beg?" And others were saying, "No, but it's someone like him." Well, the man says, "It is me." And he has a hard time convincing them. He says, "Then how were your eyes opened?" And he tells them. "The man called Jesus made the mud, spread it on my eyes, said, 'Go to Siloam and wash,' and I did." So now what happens is the Pharisees come into this situation. Now it's the Sabbath day, and they're the ones who are enforcing the commandments, the laws, obedience and observance of the Sabbath. So they see this man, and they say, "How did you receive your sight?" He tells and describes that Jesus put mud on his eyes and that he washed him, and now he sees. Now the Pharisee says, this man is not of God, for he doesn't observe the Sabbath. But others within that same group said, if this man can do this, then what sinner can perform these signs? And they were divided. So even the Pharisees had challenges with this. They're seeing a miracle, and yet they still don't believe. So much so that when they asked the man, "Who is this man? You were healed by him." And he said, "He is a prophet." The Jews didn't want to believe that he was blind. And they even actually called on his parents to come and tell him, "Who is this person, and was he born blind from birth. And the parents come and say, this is our son. He was blind since birth. And how he was given sight, we don't know. Ask him. Because if they were to admit that Jesus Christ had healed him on the Sabbath, then they put themselves at risk. Because the Sadducees and the leaders had declared that anybody who declared Jesus the Messiah could be put out of the synagogue. So they were facing ostracism and being put out of the church. So they're facing a challenge here. Now, here's where faith comes in. This man has received his sight. There are people that believe that it was a miracle that gave him back his sight, gave him his sight, which he had never had before. Imagine if you were, absent all the other stuff about the miracle, this man has never been able to see. And yet Jesus sends him off to Siloam, and he washes his eyes, and then, wonder of wonders, he's able to see. Can you imagine? I love seeing sunsets. I love seeing sunrises. I love seeing, you know, birds flying in the sky. I love the clouds in the sky. I love so many things. I enjoy so much seeing the faces of my grandchildren and hearing them laugh and seeing the smiles on their faces. My daughter and other family members, and I just look on the face of my wife and I feel joy and love. Imagine how this man sees his parents for the first time and sees them. And imagine the feeling there. Just the overwhelming, incomprehensible, because he didn't have any frame of reference. He hadn't been sighted before. Now he can see. So he's seeing the world in a totally different way. All the things that were just rough edges and rough surfaces and smooth surfaces or coarse surfaces to him, because all he would have would be touch or smells or sights, or rather sounds. Now he's able to put a vision and a sight to all of those. Think about how our world looks at what we're doing today with the coronavirus and the fear and the anxiety that we have. And this is an unseen thing in most cases. We don't know it's there. We can't see that it's there. Even though we have sight, this is a disease or a virus that is not sighted. It's a fear of something that we can't see. We can take precautions, which is sensible. We can disinfect. We can wipe. We can sanitize. We can do all those things, social distancing. We can continue to stay in prayer for our first responders and the medical profession, and we can do all of those things, but our faith, you know, not fear, not darkness, not despair, but light. Jesus came into the world to do these works, and here he's done this for this man. And the Jewish leaders send him off. And as he leaves, Jesus heard that they had driven him out. And when he found him, he said, "Do you believe in the Son of Man?" Now, the man would recognize the sound of Jesus' voice. He didn't see him before, but now he hears him. And I have said time and time again that there had to have been something about Jesus' voice. There had to have been something that just reached out to people and reached them in a way that left them no doubt that his charisma, his character was there. And he says, "Do you believe in the Son of Man?" And the blind man said, "And who is he? Tell me so that I may believe in him." And Jesus said, "You have seen him, and the one speaking with you is he." The man said, "Lord, I believe," and he worshipped him. Jesus said, "I came into the world for judgment, so that those who do not see and those who do see may become blind." He's talking about the Pharisees and the blind, the physically blind, the blind man who's been given sight, and the Pharisees who have sight but can't see. They can't see what's in front of them. They can't see the miracle. They can't see the sign that they've all been asking for, that the man who was born blind was given sight. Why? How? By God's love. By this man, Jesus, who was sent to give us sight, to bring light into a dark world, to bring hope into a hopeless world, to bring joy and sight and love and grace from our Lord and Savior. And some of the Pharisees near him, still, they are blind. They can't see. Surely we are not blind, they say. And Jesus said, if you were blind, you would not have sinned. But now that you say we see, your sin remains. In other words, because they say they're not blind and they can see, and yet here in front of them in this powerful miracle, and that they don't see. What would it take? Some still don't even believe after the resurrection. Some thought it was something made up by his followers. Where are you in your faith walk? We're in Lent. This is a time where we can look to our hearts, look to our scriptures, look to our community, do things of faith. I'm not saying we're going to go out and heal a blind man. But there are acts of mercy that we can participate in, whether it's just a simple call to someone who's at home, who we know would like to be out talking with people and communicating with people, and they're not there. There are many different devices. This very process that we're going through right now, and I want to thank Vaughn Crittenden for making sure that I get this done correctly. As you see this video today, may the Lord who brought sight to a blind man, who called him to believe, and who the man believed, may he is the same man that you and I can come to each and every day. He's the everlasting, the same yesterday as today. He'll never desert us. He'll never forsake us. Nothing can separate us from the love of God through Christ Jesus. Peace. Shalom. And as we finish our worship service today, as we do each and every day, I leave you with a benediction. I hope and pray that your day is filled with joy, that your day is filled with new excitement about doing things differently than maybe you have done in the past. Use your imagination, and as we educate our kids to try new ways of doing things, to not be so selfish and not be too so expectant upon those exterior stimulations, social grace, social stimulations, etc. Let us find and rediscover how our true family is such a loving gift. And that if we don't have physical family, if our family is no longer with us, then we do have a family. Because the body of Christ are brothers and sisters in Christ. And we are all in the family of God. So as you go throughout your day, wherever you are, in whatever capacity, may the Lord keep you and hold you and keep you safe. May the Holy Spirit be with you today and always. In Christ Jesus, our Lord and Savior's name. Amen. Okay. I think, what's that, 30 minutes?
Yeah.